Let's talk about that second act and the transition that she goes through within this act.
I think that if La Traviata is done well, Act Two, in many senses, should be the most gripping of the acts. I mean, every act has its own particular qualities and things that are intensely appealing, both musically and dramatically. But when Alfredo's father comes in and he expects that he's going to be confronting a harlot, I mean, he doesn't realize that this is a woman of intelligence and grace and profound comprehension. And so when he comes in, he essentially says, my daughter is getting married to a man of an honorable family. However, that marriage can never happen as long as you are living in sin with my son. So I need to ask you to make the ultimate sacrifice and give up your love in order for my own daughter to be happy. And she does make the decision to leave Alfredo, and that propels us. She writes him a letter as she's getting ready to leave, and she's just absolutely heartbroken. And that's what propels us into the third and fourth acts, and that is the heart of the conflict.
And she goes through this transition herself where she starts out like, no, I'm not going to leave, and then kind of wears her down until the very end where she says, yes, I will do this.
You know, I think that that's one of the interesting things is that he does come across in many ways as a really gifted and profound manipulator, which doesn't necessarily mean that he is not sincere and that he's not aware of the extent of the sacrifice that he's asking her to make. But yeah, he at first comes across very sternly towards her. Then he moves into telling her the story about his daughter. Then there are times where he's threatening. There are times where he's loving and paternal and telling her to cry. It's okay to cry, you know, weep it out. But this is something that has to happen. It's like a manifest destiny of sorts.
And he really is an emblem of society in general, where you have these standards that you have to maintain.
I think that especially for a family whose morality would have come from the French countryside rather than the city of Paris, there's a British poet who said something to the effect of, you know, God lives in the country and he doesn't live in the city. And so for somebody whose status and stature is derived primarily from the true morality of the French countryside, this kind of relationship cannot be tolerated, which is interesting given that Dumas Sr., for example, had many illegitimate children. And, you know, these are people who walk that fine line between what is expected by society, but also those kinds of allowances that take place for the very wealthy, that there's a definite class-based double standard at work.